Q&A with the Peabody, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award-winning 98-year-old Mel Brooks, following a full-length screening of Blazing Saddles on the big screen. For further information and tickets, visit peacocktheater.com and kpfk.org.
Hi, this is Halle Berry, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting this Saturday and every Saturday on KPFK 90.7 FM for over 50 years. I'm your humble host, Mark Vaughn, from Auto Week, AutoWeek.com now, although I was there when it was just Auto Week, when it was a print, I remember print. I am joined this week, as I am every week, by my favorite co-host in the world, the delectable lawyer from Orange County, Michelle Spencer. Michelle, welcome to The Car Show.
Hey, Mark, how are you? It's good to be here with you again to talk about all the cars and all the happenings that are going on in Southern California.
Sunny Southern California, sunny and hot Southern California. Our regular triumvirate is not here tonight. Ricardo Rodriguez Long is out. So we're going to have to try and struggle through without him. Ricardo, we miss you. Please, please come back. All is forgiven, Ricardo. Yes. Maybe if we talk him up well on the show, you know, like we could say, gosh, this goes so much better with Ricardo. Maybe then he'll come back. We'll see.
Yeah. And in the meantime, go to Garage Latino. We'll give him a plug. How's that?
Garage Latino. Yeah. Is that how you say garage? He would know. I've never heard him say that. Okay. See, learning something new every day. All right, let's dive right into the calendar stuff. We're going to start down in the OC. Michelle, what's going on?
Oh,
Donut Derelicts.
Where is my script?
I'll read it. Donut Derelicts, Adams Avenue Donuts in Huntington Beach every Saturday. I don't know how long that has been going on. I've been down there
forever. Yes.
You never know what's going to show up. Every Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. year round, rain or shine. There's a lot of cool American classics down there, but you just have no idea what's going to show up. The actual address is 9015 Adams Avenue in Huntington Beach. And yes, there are a lot of cars, but there are donuts. They're not free. Mm-hmm. They're not free donuts. So
no, you just stop in the Adams Avenue Donuts, get yourself your coffee and your donut or two, and walk around in the parking lot.
Check out all the cars, the motorcycles.
It's awesome, actually.
It ain't rocket surgery.
No, and if you really want information on this, you have to go to their Facebook page. So just follow Donut Derelicts, and they'll often give a live feed. They usually have somebody there who goes live. So you can actually see all the rollouts if you can't make it.
Oh, good. Excellente. Yeah. That's nice.
So, you know, that's a classic down in Huntington Beach. Just get there early because those guys wait. I mean, it's like the crack of dawn when they start. So,
Yeah. It's fun though. It's always fun.
And if you want to go with some other kind of cars, you can go to Pelican Parts. They're having their event, Cars and Coffee, on July 20th from 7 to 9 a.m. in Palos Verdes. This is now at the Promenade. It's in their parking structure at the top level. This is always a huge, large event for Porsche people. They love Pelican Parts. The Cars and Coffee is, this one's another one. Been going for a very long time. But you do also get some BMWs and some other types of foreign cars and domestic classics, modifieds, restored, and other amazing cars, they say, always show up. And they do have some race cars and some exotics also. You can show off your restoration projects. And this is a crowd that will appreciate it. And you can bring your pets. There is a guy who brings Winston, his Siamese cat. I've seen it. There.
Is it a cat just walks around or is it
yes,
on a leash?
He has a leash. Yeah.
It's not a motorcycle riding cat like you see in the circus?
No. And Winston also shows up sometimes at the South OC Cars and Coffee, which is another one every Saturday morning that you can count on. And that's the one in San Clemente at the outlets. So we're kind of covering the traditional the good old reliable car shows. This is because in the summer, you might have people coming in from out of town. Now, if you want to blow their socks off, take them to one of these that I just mentioned, either Donut Derelicts, Pelican Parts on July 20th, or every Saturday morning down there at San Clemente at the outlets. That one draws over 1,000 cars every Saturday morning.
1,000 cars?
Every Saturday. Yep.
Wow. That's impressive. All right. Uh-huh. And the Pelican Parts Cars and Coffee, where did I just see that? The address.
Yeah.
Oh, the address.
Is 550 Deep Valley Drive in Palos Verdes Estates, 90274.
Now, that's up at the top of the hill. That's that shopping mall up there.
That's right.
All right.
Exactly.
Do you go up Hawthorne to get to that, I think?
Yes, you do. Yes. It's the only way you can get up there is Hawthorne.
Okay, good. And then afterwards, you can cruise PV Drive South along the shoreline. Yeah. Lovely view. Go through San Pedro. Get back on the freeway. Right. What a day. We have up here in northern part of LA, Glendale Cruise Night, Saturday, July 20th. That's on Glendale Boulevard. It runs from 5:30 in the morning to 10:30 in the morning. It's free, and they're promising over 350 classic cars and what they call modified imports. I always get kind of a kick when people use the term imports, because, you know, it's a global market and we're exporting our cars with the, I don't know. A lot of the quote unquote imports are made here in the United States. In fact, last week, for the 4th of July, we did the most American cars, and the majority of them were not GM or Ford. They were quote unquote imports. So,
yeah, I know it's an old throwback term. I think imports, it's definitely something that Detroit manufactured so that we would go, ew, foreign cars. ew, what's that?
Yeah.
So it kind of stuck, though, imports.
It did stick. And
let's form a society for the elimination of the term imports.
All right, we'll start. It started here, America. Remember that. This is where it started. Automotive News still says that, imports, I think.
Yeah, they do. Let me write a letter to them.
Not to slander our dear friends at Automotive News, from whom we steal all their stories.
Yes, but let's tell them, hey, it's time, guys.
It's time. Move on. Then we have, let's see, is this Orange County or LA County?
Well,
this is on the border.
No, this is in LA. This is LA. The next event I'm going to tell you about is at Downey Nissan. And this is right off the 5 freeway in LA County. And it's a Pirelli GT4 America Race Watch Party. And it's on Sunday, July 21st. It starts at 7 a.m., right? Because those races run early. And it ends roughly around 11. This is sponsored by the Group Z Sports Car Club and the Nissan and Datsun Car Clubs. And they're going to have not only showing the race on YouTube for the whole crowd that's there, but they will have also kids, because they're going to have racing simulators to play on. And they'll also have there, just so that you can get your fill of Nissan, they're going to have three authors there. Chris Willis, who wrote Developing a Champion, the Electromotive Nissan GTP, excuse me. Ryan Zumalin, who wrote The Cult of GTR. And Pete Evano, who wrote Nissan Z, 50 Years of Exhilarating Performance.
That's a lot.
Yeah, they're going to do a lot at this event. And RC races for the kids, too, by the way.
And this is at Downey Nissan, which is just a Nissan dealership. That sounds like fun. And you can even meet Dean Case, the famous PR guy who puts together everything.
He's the one who told me. Yeah, he told me about this.
He'll convert you to veganism while you're watching the race.
He has tried for years to convert me. It has not worked. Here's the address, by the way. 7321 Firestone Boulevard, Downey, near the 105 and the 5. If you would like to show your Z or your Nissan, any other Nissan or Datsun, you can go to the GT4 Watch Party page, fill out their form, and show your car. And that's going to be at DowneyNissan.com.
Okay, GT4 Watch Party. Yep.
Yep, and they're not going to charge for you to show your car. So
yeah.
It's also a car show.
It's a car show and free coffee and free churros. That's better than donuts, maybe. I mean, you could go to Donut Derelicts. Yeah, you could theoretically go to Donut Derelicts and then go to Downey Nissan.
Because it's two different days.
Oh, it's two different days. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This one's obviously, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sunday, July 21st, 7 a.m. Yeah. to 11 a.m.
Buy your Downey donuts Nissan. The day before.
right off the 5 freeway at Firestone Boulevard. Sounds like a car commercial. And also, wait, there's one more thing. The chief designer at Nissan Studio 6 will be on hand, Daniel Jimenez, plus additional guests.
Yeah, they're still developing this event. There's still more people to be announced.
Yeah, Daniel is he's pretty charming dude. He's very sociable. I think he's a good guy to talk to. You can talk about all kinds of cars with him. So that will be worth hanging out. You can give him your ideas for the next Z. You know, this is what you got to do, man. You got to put a big wing on it and a huge shaker hood, and then you got to So give them your best ideas. That's how they decide what to make.
Sure.
All right. A little bit later on, so this is for August 3rd, Macchinissima 2 will be in Los Angeles, and it is a giant celebration of Italian cars and motorcycles. And I went to the first one, which was held in the Arts District, just on a street in downtown Arts District, Los Angeles. But this one has a new location at Lowry's, which is 570 West Avenue 26 in Los Angeles. Now, Lowry's used to have a big restaurant and a whole bunch of stuff there. And it was a really good restaurant. It just sort of evolved over time. I don't know exactly what's there now, but on August 3rd, you are going to be able to see all kinds of really cool Italian cars. And in fact, I was actually going to go and try and start mine this morning because I was invited to bring my Lancia Appia there. So if that flaming heap actually starts and makes it all the way down to Avenue 570 West Avenue 26 in Los Angeles, you can see my Lancia Appia. I will open up the door so that you can see there are no B pillars in this thing. And you can check out the interior. If you wanted to buy it right there, I will bring the paperwork to sign it over to you.
Oh, Mark.
That's Macchinissima 2 at the LA River Center and Gardens. It's a historic spot ingrained in LA history. Built in the 20s, the mission-style complex and gardens was Lowry's California headquarters with restaurants, gift shops, and a spice factory in the 50s. This is before the singing group Spice Girls, totally different, not aligned with them at all. It is now a state park, and Macchinissima will be the first ever motoring event at that location. So expect it to be 3 to 4 times bigger than the first show. And the first show, I was really impressed with the cars that they had there. Just I like Italian cars. Well, I like looking at them, and I like when somebody else owns them. But they were really impressive cars. They had some Lancia B20s with the chopped top on them, which they used in the 50s to race at Le Mans for lower wind resistance, greater gas mileage, et cetera, et cetera. So you never know what's going to be there, like so many car shows. But there's going to be expecting more than 100 cars, motorcycles, and even classic Italian bicycles in that beautiful setting there at the former Lowry's. Expect the usual mix, ridiculous to the sublime, they say. And they will introduce some of the cars and bikes to the show over the next month. Maybe they'll introduce mine.
Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah, it should be fun. It should be fun, but I'm an Italian car slappy. Now we're going to go back to the imports for our next item.
Well, that would be we're going to call them European cars or Japanese cars or whatever. Okay, well, this is a Japanese car event. Subi Fest. It's coming back Sunday, August 4th from 9 to 5. And this is going to be held at the Santa Anita Racetrack, which not the car racetrack, the horse racetrack.
It's in the parking lot. It's not on the horse track. Make that clear. It's a parking lot on the south side of Santa Anita. Yes.
There you go. I remember once I told my aunt I'm going to the races. And she goes, can you get some bets in for me? And I'm like, it's not that kind of racing.
Oh, maybe you can race. Maybe you can bet on it. Who knows?
Yeah. So I'm actually going to go to this Subi Fest, and they're expecting thousands of Subarus, you do have to have a ticket, but I just got a press pass. That's what you do when you're in this profession. But the rest of you have to go to subifest.com/California. Now, they do have SubiFests all over the place, so make sure you register for the California one. That's Sunday, August 4th.
I went to this a couple of years ago, and it's on a huge parking lot. And they had at that one, they had a sort of ride-alongs and drifting and a few other things in a part of the parking lot. But it could potentially be very hot. So get your biggest hat, all of your sunscreen, and drink plenty of water before you go out there.
Go early. So the tickets are $25. If you want to do autocross, you can bring your Subi and you can do autocrossing. And you have to be 18 or older. You have to show your license. They will have numbers assigned. You have to have a helmet, and they do tell you what kind. They will have you do a tech inspection before they let you ride. No passengers, though. So go to the website. First, you buy your ticket for $25. Then you can add on your autocross. I didn't see anything about any other options or things that were happening.
Yeah, there's always cool stuff. I mean, there are people who bring their Subaru wagons all set up for camping, and they set up a campground around their car, and you know, a little fake fireplace, and umbrellas and tents, rooftop tents, those $5,000 rooftop tents that I don't understand. You can just roll up a tent and set it up. But I don't know, maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. But SubiFest is a lot of fun. And I am surprised, actually, that you can just show up as an 18-year-old and race. That's kind of cool. Even though it's, mm-hmm. Autocross, not really a wheel-to-wheel, door-to-door race.
Right. It's one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Timed event.
Yeah.
But still, I'm impressed that they are able to get away with that. Now, your helmet can't just be any old thing you found at a garage sale. It has to be SA2015 or SA2020, and they will inspect those. So, get that. If you want to be really cool, what you should do is get a driving suit and then walk around the rest of the day with your driving mm-hmm. suit jauntily tied mm-hmm. at the waist.
Yes. A la Joseph Newgarden.
Your man.
Yes.
We're going to get him on the show.
One of these days. Joseph and I have had a falling out, Mark.
Because he didn't win?
No, it's more deep than that.
Oh, he has a girlfriend?
Well, oh no, it's even far worse.
You realize we're on the radio.
He posted a video saying he doesn't like mustard on his hot dogs.
And that's it?
Yes, this is the breaking point.
Wow.
I have to break up with him.
Oh my. I think that would fall into the category of fickle. But maybe we can get him on the show and you two can work it out. You two crazy kids can work it out.
I don't know. He's a ketchup guy. Oh,
let's move on, just like you should move on from Joseph. So August 9th and 10th, if you are looking for an excuse to do a road trip, the Lake Tahoe Concours takes place August 9th through 10th. Now, that is actually, you can check it out at laketahoeconcours.com. And that is for wooden boats. So the wooden boats will be in the water and you can check them all out. Lake Tahoe, of course, has a long history of classic, elegant, beautiful wooden boats, powered boats, obviously. So that is Lake Tahoe Concours, August 9th through 10th.
Yeah, we got one more minute. So,
yes.
Have you been to the wooden boats concours?
I would go if I wasn't busy. I think I'm going somewhere then.
I think it would be super cool.
That's the weekend before Pebble Beach. So if you're driving across the country, you can go up over Interstate 80, stop at Lake Tahoe for a while, and see the wooden boats.
Mm-hmm. And check out Lake Tahoe if you haven't before.
Yeah, we'll tell you about, we'll start putting Pebble Beach events in our calendar probably in how many weeks, Michelle?
Well, probably in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
right.
2 weeks.
We try to go 2 weeks out. So
it's the usual retinue of car events there, but we'll get to that later because that's way off in the future. And speaking of way off in the future, what is the next event on our calendar? We have 30 seconds.
I'll do one more thing. Okay, so I went to the Night of Destruction at Paris Auto Speedway last weekend. It was hilarious. So much fun. FYI, the next one is Saturday, August 10th. All right, so go to parisautospeedway.com for the full schedule because they do have that about once a month throughout the whole summer. Okay?
Okay, good. Well said. There'll be something there for you among those calendar events. There'll be something. Yes. We go on to the news section at exactly 20 minutes into the show. This is good.
Look at us.
Look at us. And the first item is down in Michelle's territory.
Yes.
Bureau chief.
Real quick. If you have a Tacoma, you need to park it inside for a while or make sure you always lock your tailgate if you're parking it outside, because Costa Mesa police announced on KTLA News and ABC News that on June 27th, they noticed that there was a huge spike in tailgate thefts, that 20 tailgates had been stolen, and 19 of the 20 were off of Tacomas.
So, oh, my.
Yeah. And so they're just be careful for a while until they figure out who's doing this. They did see a man and a woman taking off with one Tacoma tailgate, and they ran off in a black Honda sedan that was caught on surveillance.
How do you get a Tacoma tailgate inside a Honda sedan?
I think it was an Accord, but they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
I think what they did was they put the back seats down and shoved it in through the trunk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Uh-huh. That makes sense. Yeah, because you don't want that hanging out. Yeah. That would be, cops could pull you right over.
You can see the video if you go to KTLA News website. But yeah, they're shoving it in through the back, through the trunk.
All right.
All right. So
Costa Mesa police say locking the tailgate will deter the thieves.
Yes. There you go.
And now I hate to bring up IndyCar because, you know, but they are launching what? They're launching hybrids? What?
Yes.
Yeah, that just happened.
Yes. In mid-Ohio on Sunday, they decided to go ahead and launch hybrids. And it was one of those things where now the drivers have to do, they have a couple more buttons on the steering wheel, and they have to figure out how to function with this new ability to cut out on, I guess it's regeneration. So just like how you have with your Prius, do you want your regeneration when you're braking, or do you want regeneration on some other, do you want it strong or do you want it weak? I think they put all those options on this new car, which, by the way, was a collaboration between three different car makers. It wasn't just, you know, Honda, like it's been traditionally for IndyCar. They've been Hondas for a long time. But yeah, interesting for the racers to throw this at them. Yeah, right in the middle of the season.
If they were to do that right, you know, having, as we all have, driven a lot of electric cars, electric motorcycles, you could take care of almost all the braking and turn that braking, that kinetic energy, into electrical energy so that when you accelerate out of the corner, you know, it would improve your gas mileage, and also you could accelerate faster if you managed it just right. I'm thinking, say, IndyCar, the Indy 500, you go down the straight and it knows exactly where it's going to start braking or slowing down. And it could be done sometime, some better than others. I don't know. Sounds exciting. Adds an element.
It is exciting. It does. Absolutely. And it'll be different on different tracks too, the way that you use it. So this is a big challenge for the drivers, I think, to effectively use this technology to increase their timing.
Yeah. It's, I think it'll be kind of cool. And, you know, who was talking? Oh, yeah. NASCAR just showed last Saturday, I think they revealed the electric cup car.
Yep.
All electric cup car. It has a body made of flaxseed. Did you catch that?
I didn't. Wow.
Body is made of flaxseed. So you park the car, you know, the typical southern shade tree mechanic, park it out under the shade tree, you come back in the morning, and the possums have eaten your car.
So, nice.
Yeah, think about that before before NASCAR makes the jump to EVs. Now they said there were no specific plans to launch an all EV series in NASCAR, but from what I've read about it, the way that they worded it it sounds like if they ever do, it will be a separate series like the Trucks or, you know, Bush Clash or something like that. It won't be, you won't see the Daytona 500 with all electric vehicles, at least not in the immediate future. I think the first thing that it's going to be is sort of a support series. But that could be kind of fun because then you've got, they could have a big readout saying how much battery you have left, you know, and so the fans would know who has, it's like knowing how much gas is in the tank. Right now, you just have to kind of listen in to the scanners to get that kind of information. But that could, no reason that couldn't be broadcast. And then they have to pull into the pits and do a quick battery change. I don't know. That'd be kind of make it more fun to watch, right?
Well, yeah. I'm glad they're not going to completely, I think it's good to have an idea that it's a complementary and not a replacement for what they're currently doing. That's good.
Well, that's what they're saying.
But yeah, there is e-racing. I mean, if you want to see e-racing, most of it's in Europe.
Formula E, yeah.
Yeah, Formula E. It's out there. So it's already happening.
Yeah.
And so NASCAR's probably going over to Europe and taking notes. How do you swap out a battery? How long is the pit stop for that?
Well, they don't battery swap in Formula E. The first couple of seasons, they had to switch cars.
Right.
So they pull had into to have the pits, jump out of one car, yeah. Jump into the other, and go with the second one. Now they have more efficient batteries, so the batteries will last the length
the whole
of
race.
The race.
Okay.
Yeah, but
I wonder if NASCAR will do it that way, that the race will just be long enough so that the battery will last.
500-mile race, you probably have to change batteries five times, I would think. Mm. I mean, how often do they come in for fuel now in a 500-mile race?
Well, about every 100, 150, you have to pit.
Okay, so in a 500-mile race, it would be, you know, three, four times, five times. Mm-hmm. And you do a battery swap, and they could safely do that by saying every pit stop has to last a minute or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah. We're speculating here. We're just speculating about
totally
the future of racing based on a few things.
In other words, NASCAR, don't ask us how to do it.
Yeah. They didn't ask us. And they may never ask. But there's more racing, right?
There is. All right. Okay. So if you are one of those people, you can't get enough of the Indy 500. You better have Netflix because season 2 of 100 Days to Indy is up and streaming. So catch up with that. Binge, if you like, to your heart's content on Indy 500 prep and behind-the-scenes footage on Netflix season 2.
Okay. Now, you have actually you've watched the first season 1 of this, I assume, Michelle?
Actually, I don't have Netflix. So
everybody has Netflix.
I know.
It's easy to get.
I get it. But do I even watch TV?
Yeah. Who has time to watch TV?
I don't.
Well.
So, no. But I should. I mean,
hopefully
all the good stuff is on Netflix, right?
Hopefully enough people will watch it so that the series keeps going.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right. Now, a couple of reports from events that have happened here. I was lucky enough to get into the Handbuilt Motorcycle Show. Now, if you've heard of the Handbuilt Motorcycle Show, it has been in Austin, Texas for 10 years. And last weekend was the first time that they brought it out anywhere else. And they brought it here to Los Angeles. I went there. I don't know if Ricardo went. He might have gone.
Yeah, he did.
There were a lot of cool cats there, you know. Rod Emery had three Porsches there because it wasn't just motorcycles, there were cars. Jonathan Ward brought several of his Broncos and other creations that he does.
Cool.
But most of it was the motorcycles, and they were not your typical. You think of custom bikes, you think maybe of choppers, you know, with long forks in the front and things like that. And there were some of those, but most of them, the rest of them were just like, you know, BMWs, and there were a lot of very cool use of BMW bodies. There's some Honda bodies, Triumphs. Triumph was a sponsor of this event, I think. Mm. I don't know if the word sponsor is legally actionable there, but they did participate in it, and they had several of their motorcycles there. There were some really nice customs from a local guy, Shinya Kimura, K-I-M-U-R-A. He's a Southern California customizer, and he had like one of each. There was a Harley there. There was a Moto Guzzi. There was, I think he had a BMW, a Honda. It was very, very cool. Even a Triumph Bonneville. And so he builds these. He says it takes about 6 to 7 months to build each one of them. And he sells them for about, what did he say? He told me, I think he said $70,000 to $80,000. And I think that was his wife there who said, no, more than that. So who knows? He was one of the builders. He puts these beautiful fairings on these bikes, just hand-formed aluminum fairings, no paint on them. There was something called the Black Falcon from Falcon Motorcycles in Los Angeles. Soma Metalworks had another beautiful, cool bike. There's a lot of exposed, polished aluminum and around there, even with the BMWs. So it was really nice. And I talked to the guy who puts on the show in. He's the one who brought it out from
Austin.
From Austin. And I spoke to him, and he has plans to expand this show. He said Los Angeles was the logical first expansion. The next one that he wants to do is he wants to take it to Milan, Italy, where they hold the EICMA show. Now, EICMA is an Italian abbreviation for Exposizione Internazionale something motorcycles and bicycles or something. So it's really long, but it is a huge show, and it would make great sense. You know, I don't know what kind of outlets the guys in Europe have, the motorcycle customizers in Europe have, but that would be a really good location for that. I've always wanted to go to the EICMA show. So I think that would be nice. And then beyond that, he wants to have these exhibitions as part of MotoGP weekends. So you go to see a MotoGP race, and one of the things that you get is this really nice collection of cool custom motorcycles. So we wish them well. It's called the Hand-Built Show, and it took place here in downtown LA last weekend. That was a lot of fun. Another cool thing that happened, 4th of July was last weekend. You know, it's funny because after a big holiday weekend, we immediately forget about it and we don't think about it. We're always looking forward to whatever's next. I don't know what's next. Labor Day?
Yeah.
Labor Day and then right. Halloween or something. But last weekend, I got to experience Piccolo Pete racing. Have you ever heard of Piccolo Pete racing?
No. Tell us about that.
Okay. This friend of mine, photographer John Thawley, he lives in Santa Ana, and his neighborhood is this bucolic paradise that has as one of its regular 4th of July things for the last 25 years, they have Piccolo Pete races. Now, Piccolo Pete, of course, is a firework that's sort of vertically oriented and has a whistle on the top, and you light it, and the expanding gas goes through the whistle, and it creates sound and smoke. It's pretty fun. I mean, when I was a kid, I had fun watching those things. But these guys take Piccolo Petes, tape them all together, and put them on little model cars, and they see who can go the farthest with this. So if they're not really races, it's kind of like distance. And I was down there having the time of my life. It's the perfect melding of thrust, directional stability, and patriotism. It was the 25th annual 4th of July Piccolo Pete races. And, you know, the thing about it is you can do this anywhere. You don't have to go find this place. You just get all the neighbors together and explain to them, hey, let's have Piccolo Pete races. Because a lot of neighborhoods, they bring out their own collection of fireworks and they fire off fireworks. And I just thought this was, it was so cool. You can read about it. You can go to autoweek.com and read about it. I mean, there was a lot of pomp and circumstance. The local Monsignor from the local Catholic Church gave a nice benediction. And then one of the kids who grew up on the street played the Jimi Hendrix Star Spangled Banner on an electric guitar.
Excellent.
Get things going. There were about 150 people lining the street. And then one by one, they would fire these things off. And I actually made one. I stopped. While some people spent a lot of time engineering these over the course of the last year, I stopped at the Salvation Army thrift store and tried out the toy cars that they had there to see which one looked like it would go the straightest. And I picked one was a Mac from the movie Cars, the original Cars movie.
Oh, sure.
And I bought 5 boxes of Piccolo Pete's. I don't know how many, maybe 50 Piccolo Pete's were then taped to the back of this thing. And unfortunately, it lacked directional stability. But
in other words, it veered off to the right or the left.
It veered off to the left, which is good because this is KPFK, right?
Yes. Oh, very funny. Well, did it do a hit the wall? Did it roll over?
It jammed. They had these little 2x4s sort of lining the launch part of the course, and it just went head first into those, and then stuck as it was. It expended the remainder of the thrust into the air, and you know. Uh-huh. People would say, "That's okay, buddy. You'll get it next year." Well, anyway. My friend John Thawley had a carbon fiber. It was like he made this thing out of carbon fiber. It had aluminum axles and just, I think he called them diamond something wheels. And he did quite well. He had 17 of them. His went straight all the way down the middle of the street. So that was a fun way to celebrate. Hmm.
Is there a trophy for the top or the podium?
There are 6 trophies available based on, like, I think 3 or 4 or 5 classes. So whichever class went, like for kids, there's whichever one with just a single Piccolo Pete went, that was one trophy. 2 Piccolo Petes was the second trophy. And then they had modified and open. And then they had like best wipeout. Dude. You know, most creative. So
all right.
It was a lot of fun. So, you know, set this up for your next 4th of July.
Yeah, and your block actually, party or whatever. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Manhattan Beach, thinking ahead here for Halloween, Manhattan Beach has the world famous pumpkin race right around Halloween. So check that out too. You can Google that in autoweek.com. Just Google Autoweek. World famous pumpkin race of Manhattan Beach. I've got lots. I did an engineering analysis of the fastest pumpkins.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Of course you did.
Of course I did, because there was nothing else to do.
Well, did you get the prize for, or the trophy for best wipeout? Or did
I got
you?
Nothing. No, it was a non-spectacular wipeout.
I got you. So, okay.
Yeah. Some of these things would go crash underneath. You know, everybody sits in these plastic lawn chairs. Some would crash under somebody's lawn chair. So they're screaming and flailing and leaping. And that was kind of cool. But,
oh, gosh. What a blast. Ha.
Blast. I got it. Another item of news here that was just recently announced. And it doesn't affect us yet, but it's something to worry about in Europe. They are going to now include speed limiters in all cars. What's that?
This is your 2-minute warning.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know what that was.
Peace.
Okay. 2 minutes to talk about speed limiters now mandatory in all European market cars. They're called Intelligent Speed Assist.
Oh, that's the nice name for it. I can think of a few names that the Germans are using and the Italians.
Yeah, because this will, as it says, will limit the speed of your car. It can actually cut back on power. And they started doing this in 2022. All new car models introduced in the European Union have had Intelligent Speed Assist installed. And now all new vehicles must feature them. Now, for the moment, that is just vehicles sold in and for Europe. So if you buy a Mercedes here or something, it doesn't have this on it. But you can imagine that that kind of technology is going to be pretty easy to get. So like having a computer automatically slow down a car in response to a posted speed limit, you know, that sounds like a good idea. But there's sort of this unspoken, would we call it a gentleman's agreement, that everybody goes faster than the speed limit. I mean, the freeway says 65 miles an hour. Nobody's going 65. They're going 80. So I guess.
Yeah, not in California. I just saw some lady that moved from Tennessee to Southern California to LA. And she said that in Tennessee, which I didn't experience this when I was there, but they ticket you when you're 5 miles over the speed limit. And she said, well, out here, do y'all not do that? because I see y'all going 80. And yeah, everyone chimed in and said, yeah, it's a free for all. Just do what you want to do because we don't ticket for that.
Yeah, it's the number of police sitting there writing speeding tickets here in California compared to the number in just over the border in Arizona or Ohio or Michigan or a lot of other states. The number of police officers available for speed enforcement duty is way lower than probably anywhere else other than maybe Montana or something. So we actually kind of have it good for the moment, and there aren't that many radar speed traps.
Yeah, here. You have to be doing really stupid stuff in addition to speeding to get the attention of CHP, like weaving in and out of traffic and scaring the hell out of people.
Yeah, and even then, most of those guys get away with it.
Exactly. You see them get away with it every day. So, the police are going to like these speed limiters.
Yeah, they will. And I don't know. There's a lot of ways to look at this. When we published this story, is still up at autoweek.com. And when we published it, the comments just, they really went, you know, you ain't taking away my freedom. We ain't going to do that. Y'all in Europe ought to rise up and throw that off. And so, and I can sort of understand that. I would much rather than insisting on these draconian speed limiters, I would say it would be much better to make people learn how to drive. You know, in Germany, you spend $5,000 and several months getting your license. Here, you go down to the DMV, and if you can go around the block a couple times and not kill anybody, okay, it's a little bit more involved than that.
Like don't run the stop signs and you'll pass, okay?
Yeah.
And if you know what the speed limit is in the school zones, you'll pass the written test. It isn't that difficult, and you're right. And who's spending $5,000? I don't think it costs that much, even if you don't know how to drive and you took lessons. But it's so much easier here. And my mother used to say, well, you can get one off your Rice Krispies box. That's why we have so many lousy drivers.
That's part of the reason. The other part of the reason is that bars are open till 2 a.m. and they keep serving you until 2 a.m.
Yes.
And everybody leaving the bar has been drinking for a while and they all drive home. And that seems we accept that. And that shouldn't be the case either. But, you know, drinking is a freedom. And we got so it's a conundrum, perhaps.
The darn Constitution. So, right. Interesting from Europe. I had actually mentioned this, when we did a story a couple months ago, that there was some sort of threat in California that they really liked this technology and they were going to try to legislate that we get it here. So let's just hope it doesn't catch fire and come here, you know? Yeah. Because I don't think people are going to like that.
Yeah, hopefully it won't come here in my lifetime. That's all I care about.
Yes.
It's all about me, baby.
And since we're all senior citizens here. Hopefully not in our lifetimes.
Yeah, I hope
not. Okay, so what's our next story?
In our lifetime, however, is the Bentley Bentayga.
Oh, have you driven a Bentayga?
I haven't. Have you driven a Bentley at all?
No.
Oh, okay. Bentleys. For the record, I like Bentleys. They are well engineered and they're surprisingly well engineered for how large and heavy they are. You know, they manage to control all that mass surprisingly well. Now, I was lucky enough. They called up and they said, hey, do you want a Bentley for the 4th of July weekend? And I said, okay.
Well, sure.
And they listed
more American than having a British car on the 4th of July.
I guess I didn't think of that irony. It's good. It's a good thing you weren't there to stop me because I got a Bentayga extended wheelbase Azure V8 in tungsten. Now, that is, of course, the Bentayga is the SUV version of the Bentley shared with the Audi Q8 and Porsche Cayenne and a few. I mean, a lot of the parts are shared. They're obviously different cars. This has a 4.8 liter twin turbo V8. You will not complain about that. The difference with this one is the extended wheelbase adds, I don't know exactly how much, but maybe almost a foot of wheelbase, and it all goes to the rear seat passenger legroom. So this is made for, there are some many markets in the world where being chauffeured around seems to be an important thing. And so that would perhaps be for that. Some places here, some buyers here like that option of being chauffeured around. So it has a really solidly large rear seat. Now, the problem is I had one with what they call the Bentley Airline seat specification, which is actually an $11,530 option. So what you get is, rather than seats that fold flat and make it into a utility of a sport utility, the seat rest backing is just solidly put in place and does not move. It's a far less practical vehicle if, for instance, you're using it as a family hauler, as any SUV would be used. Like, for instance, we're going to go surfing on Friday. And so I said, oh, we'll take the Bentley. I got to put miles on that. And so I went out there and I'm playing around with the seat backs. And the seats do not fold down. So if you want to call that a drawback, for me, it was. So I could not do that. And I also had to carry one of those keyboard things, you know, not an entire piano, but the keyboard. And to get that in there, I had to actually measure it out. And it was wide enough, narrow enough that it would fit across the back seats. But your utility is extremely limited in this vehicle. But the benefit, of course, is that the speed is quite nice. You can accelerate quite nicely. You can get 0 to 60 in this thing. And, I'm going to miss the number here, but it's quite fast given how much of the mass there is. It's 542 horsepower, this twin turbo V8, and you can hear it nicely. I recorded at Auto Week, we have a thing called a quick spin, which is sort of a podcast review of a car. And sometimes on these cars, like with the Ferrari Purosangue, which is perhaps a competitor to this, which has a V12 engine, the sound doesn't really come inside the cabin as much, but this one it does. So with this V8, our colleagues at Car and Driver who test these things, they got to 60 miles per hour in 3.5 seconds. Now, sadly, the W12 engine is no longer there, so the V8 is all we got. I'm surprised, Michelle, that you haven't driven a Bentley at all. We have to get you a Bentley.
Yes, we do.
Maybe you can buy one with all that lawyer money.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You give up some mileage funny. With this. Throughout the time I had it, I was watching the instant mileage, and it was about 16 mpg. So I bet these people don't care, do they?
No. It doesn't matter. If you need the car, you don't care.
Yeah.
But with the large size of it, that's not a surprise. You know, it's same with large SUVs. You're going to get below 20 miles per gallon. It's just how it is. Big cars.
Yeah.
You want better MPGs, you got to get either, a smaller car or get a hybrid.
Yeah. So, and this is available as a hybrid. The Bentayga Azure.
Well, that might
hybrid.
Be the way to go. Yeah, that might be the way to go. Get better mileage.
You might. Let's see what they got for mileage. They got 23 miles per gallon. Car and Driver did with the hybrid version of it. And they actually got 24 miles per gallon with this straight up V8. So, I mean,
totally depends
on how you drive. The EPA says 23 combined for the V8. And EPA says 24 for the hybrid. But again, no one is paying attention to that. Mine cost, brace yourself, Bridget, it cost $325,000 for mine. It was loaded up with options, including that rear seat option for $11,680. Let's see, what else? What other high cost things were there?
How about the sound system? Usually that's
It was NAIM, N-A-I-M. Are you familiar with that?
Nope.
I'm probably saying it wrong.
Naim.
I'm saying name just because that's it looks like how. Now I used satellite radio, so maybe the bandwidth in that isn't quite the same as if you were, you know, taking it straight off of another form of digital audio. But I cranked it up on some, you know, I had the classic vinyl channel, and I don't know, I wasn't blown away by it. Sometimes you can really hear a distinct difference in a really good sound system. Granted, I don't think I gave the sound system a good enough try. Maybe I should have tried some different media to get the sound in there. But
well, how was it when you had all the windows up? Was the wind noise it for that price point? I want no wind noise.
Yeah, I didn't notice any wind noise at all.
All right, good.
And you could hear, like I said, you could hear the mighty twin turbo V8, golly.
So was there some sort of pricey option for, like, say, upgraded interior, like super duper leather or something like that?
Super duper leather. There was, let me see what we had here. Contrast binding to carpet over mats. Okay. That was reasonable. That was actually quite reasonable. That was only $360.
Wow. That's cheaper than floor mats in a Celica or a Corolla.
The sound system was expensive. That was $9,000. Extended range. Mine had the black line specification, which means that the grill was blacked out. The wheels were blacked out. And a lot of times that kind of looks like you're trying too hard, but this one, it fell in nicely. It had the self-leveling wheel badge, which is important. You want the flying B to be a B. You don't want it to be a 13 or something. You know, he asked for a 13, but he got a 31, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
You don't want that happening.
Absolutely. No. This is not acceptable.
Yeah. So total price, $325,265. So
as equipped. Yes.
As equipped. So, and I've been lucky enough to drive all the competitors except the DBX, Aston Martin DBX 707. And, you know, of those, I really liked the Ferrari Purosangue, the V12. You know, you can see the V12 as being a little bit, ostentatious. But I really liked that. And as I said last week, I had that for, I think, 3 or 4 days driving around. Really an enjoyable car. Fun when it had to be fun, comfortable when it didn't. But so was this Bentayga. The Bentayga felt more heavy. Or I should say heavier. The Rolls-Royce Cullinan feels heavier still and more top heavy. The Cayenne, the Porsche Cayenne, is not only far more affordable, but it is perhaps a little bit more sporty. Although when I drove a Cayenne back to back with a Macan, I wound up preferring the Macan. So who's to say? You know, try them all, see what you like. But if you get the, and one thing I noticed about this Bentley is everybody came up and said something. I don't want to hear, you know, compliments. I don't go for that. But everybody came up and said, "Hey, nice car, man." So, you know, a lot of people like that. So by golly, that's what they did.
If you want people to compliment your car, there are certain cars you should look at. That's right.
Yeah, definitely. So,
Okay. Well, we got 5 minutes left.
5 minutes left. Should we talk about the motorcycle?
Sure. Let's go.
Okay. I had, now the people at Ducati are very nice to me and give me whatever they even call up and they say, "Hey, you haven't driven a Ducati. What's the matter? Drive a Ducati."
What's the matter? You,
I don't
get a Ducati.
I don't think we can actually say that. Can we actually say that?
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
What's the matter you? I'm Italian.
That's where Bullwinkle Moose went to college. Did you know that?
Oh, brother.
A little bit of trivia.
That's the worst dad joke I've ever heard.
No, it's not a dad joke. That's what Bullwinkle would say. If you went to What's the Matter You? Remember that? You missed. Probably if you missed that, you probably missed a lot. So I got the one bike that I had not ridden from Ducati was the Hypermotard And this particular one was the Ducati Hypermotard 698 Mono RVE. Now, mono refers to the single cylinder. Do you ride motorcycles, Michelle?
I haven't. Nope. Someday. That's nothing when I retire, ever. I'm going to learn.
Not even a scooter?
Nope.
Not even a Vespa scooter there at anywhere?
No.
Not even in college?
That would have been perfect for growing up in Hermosa at the beach.
It would have
but
been.
No. And everyone at UCLA had them. Everyone had a Vespa.
Really?
Yeah, because there's cool. a lot of hills there. It's not like USC. It's very, yeah, UCLA has hills galore. So
it's not but as bad yeah, as Berkeley. Handy.
Oh,
Berkeley.
Yeah.
That's hills bad too. Will kill you. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I didn't go there. It had nothing to do with me not being smart enough. But
Sure.
So anyway, let's get back to the motorcycle. The Ducati Hypermotard 698 Mono RVE. Now, mono, of course, as I said, refers to the single cylinder of displacement. There's 698 cc's, so let's round it up to 700. That engine makes 77.5 horsepower at 9,750 rpm, all the way up to a 10,250 rpm red light. That's one single cylinder, just bang 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 bang, 46 pound feet of torque. And the thing about this bike that I just don't understand its purpose. Now, if you Google this motorcycle, you see these guys in full track leathers, and they're out on racetracks. They're leaning into the corner, scraping the knee puck around every corner, and they are just hooting and hollering. They're having the best time in the world. Now, you have to be a very good rider to exploit the limits of that motorcycle. You can't get away with just, you know, faking it out there. So I will say that it was beyond my ability to fully exploit this motorcycle. So should I even be reviewing it? I think a lot of people, the average rider, probably can't scrape a knee puck around a corner. And so I again ask, what is this motorcycle's purpose? It feels like you get on and it feels like a dirt bike. It feels like a large dirt bike, like from Husqvarna or Honda or something Honda makes or used to make, a single cylinder 650 dirt bike. And it felt proportionally, size-wise, very much like that. But this one is made for the road. So the tires that I had were like, they weren't slicks, but they were definitely made for cornering on asphalt. I took it out several times and I could never really exploit it. And so hence I didn't like it, but it's in a way that's like saying, oh, I didn't like the sound system because I didn't understand how it worked. So it's not really a fair thing to say. What do you think, Michelle? Is that fair?
Maybe it would have helped you if you had like a buddy who knew the capabilities of the bike and went with you and said, okay, yeah, now here's the deal. Here's how we can have fun with this and show you what to do.
All right. Well, anyway, it's the version that I had was almost 14,495. You can get one for $12,995. And you know, if you're up to the task, then go for it, man. Okay. We're just about out of time here. Michelle, tell us about the Facebook page.
Yeah, so if you would like to just get all of our news and our updates, go to the car show on KPFK 90.7 FM on Facebook and give us a like and a follow.
And stick around for Bill Gardner's Rhapsody in Black, great music you didn't know that you loved. It's on coming up right after this. And we will see you next week here on The Car Show.
Support comes from the Peacock Theater in downtown L.A., presenting Mel Brooks Saturday, July 27th at 7:30 p.m. for a celebration of the 50th anniversary of his iconic comedy classic, Blazing Saddles.
He rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star.
The special event features a live interview and audience Q&A with the Peabody, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award-winning 98-year-old Mel Brooks following a full-length screening of Blazing Saddles on the big screen. For more information and tickets, visit peacocktheater.com and kpfk.org.
Are you looking for a unique way to support Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles? KPFK's vehicle donation program not only supports public radio, but it helps you get a tax deduction, too. The process is easy. Just call